Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Welcome, everyone. Today we have Pete Alexander, a recovering, hard-driving leader with over 35 years of sales, marketing, educational, and entrepreneurial experience. Professor Pete has successfully battled the negative effects of his own stress that ultimately led to health issues and has now developed the Lighten Stress Management Tool. Learning his stress management techniques allows participants to protect their health and handle difficult situations with grace and ease. Welcome, Professor Pete. So good to have you here today.
Jane, thank you so much for having me on the show. I greatly appreciate your time and the listeners' time.
Thank you so much. So let's get into your story. And, you know, you had a health crisis and overcame it, but you, through that, realized how important it is to monitor your stress, and you've developed programs and talked to people. So just tell us how you became so enthused of sharing this information.
Sure. Well, you know, we were talking before about the stress. I mean, I've got a long history with stress that goes back to a dysfunctional childhood. But as an adult, it really came to a head back in 2008, because that was a time when I had a perfect storm of stressful activities that culminated in my diagnosis with stress-induced diabetes. The problem was, I didn't listen to my body about what stress was doing to it. Instead, I continued to burn the candle at both ends for another 10 years until I ended up in the emergency room with a severe case of diabetic ketoacidosis. And for those listeners who don't know what that is, basically my body was eating itself alive because of my stress. And what was crazy about that is that I was 1 hour away from being comatose because my blood sugars were so high. And I got transferred to ICU for the very first time in my life. And I spent 3 days there. And on the second day in the ICU, my boss at the time texts me at about 6 a.m. and says, "You have a webinar you need to run at 8 o'clock. What are you going to do about it?" And what a surprise. I didn't have my work laptop with me in the ICU. I had my phone. And so I started trying to reschedule that webinar, pushing the boundaries of what I could do on the phone. And every half hour, whichever nurse was on duty would come and check my blood. And so I'm sitting there trying to reschedule, and she comes over and she checks my blood, and my numbers had finally, after a couple days, come down into more reasonable numbers. They were still high, but they came down into more reasonable numbers. And all of a sudden, now that I was sitting there trying to reschedule the webinar, the blood sugar skyrocketed back up. And she just says matter-of-factly to me, she says, "You realize that's what put you in this hospital bed in the first place." And that was the epiphany moment that I needed. I thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm trading my health for my career, and that is a really bad trade. So the next day I got out, the rest of that day I spent really just thinking about that, and the next day I got out of the hospital, and then the day after that I resigned and focused on trying to do whatever I could about my stress. Started experimenting with a whole bunch of different tools and techniques. Found that most of them helped at least somewhat, and I noticed that not only did my stress go down, my glucose numbers as a diabetic went down, my weight went down, and my energy went way way up. It was like I had experienced some sort of fountain of youth. And the crazy thing is, if you look at me today, and then you would look at me, pictures of me back in 2008 when I got the diagnosis with stress-induced diabetes, I actually look younger today than I did, what was that, 13 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, yes, and stress has such an unconscious effect on us. Mm-hmm. And to not be aware of it. So when you were in the hospital and had this, you know, a diagnostic test happen at the same time you were stressed, it really hit home, eh?
That it did. And it just showed to me. And you know, and I knew that when I would get stressed, my numbers would go up. I didn't know that how life-threatening it was until this, because, you know, being admitted into the hospital, that my glucose numbers were so high that the medical grade glucometers couldn't read it. They estimated that my numbers were 8 to 10 times higher than they're supposed to be.
Oh, wow.
So that's crazy. I was so dehydrated that I had to have 6 liters of fluid in the first hour. And that was because I got stressed out because I was working on a high profile project. It's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, just tell us maybe the last 2 or 3 years, what your life looked like that got you into this spot.
So you mean prior to the hospital stay?
Yeah.
So I was working for most of my career I spent in the medical device industry. And so there's a lot of stress involved in that because it's a highly regulated industry. And in the US in particular, if you work for a publicly traded medical device company, you have two very large government entities that oversee you, the FTC and the FDA. And if anything goes wrong with the product or any kind of communication, I was working in the marketing department, anything was said wrong, the company was liable. And so there was a lot of tension about do not make a mistake. And so what was really difficult was in that industry, especially in the positions of marketing, you don't get a lot of pats on the back and, you know, saying, oh, wow, what great job or something like that. Especially like with mine, I was doing digital marketing for 20 years. What happens most of the time is they just expect it to be working fine and everything's going to be great. But oh my goodness, you have one mistake on there and then the world comes to a stop. And, I can't tell you how many times I would have somebody say, oh, well, I just saw this one typo on this one page, or, oh, the website didn't load fast enough for me or something like that. There's all these different things that can go wrong. And it was constant, you know, constant things, that fire alarms that would come up. And it was very stressful. It really was. And I dealt with that for, better part of 20 years. And even before that, I was working for other medical device companies, but, the web wasn't as big of a part of the marketing channel as it is now.
Yeah. You know, I study with Dr. Divya Chambra, and when we take a case, we talk about how, you know, in times of, you know, 1,000 years ago, stress happened when a lion came out and we had to run for our lives, but then it was over. But today it goes on and on and on. And there, you know, it's like that sympathetic nervous system jumps into high gear. So often we don't have a chance to recover.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because the reality is our bodies are wired like they were back in the Stone Age. And as you say, as a lion, or, you know, a saber-toothed tiger, or let's say a T-Rex, something like that. And, you know, that fight or flight, reaction that we have. And, you know, the adrenaline, the cortisol that gets dropped in our bodies, that was all for a short-term situation. But now, because most of our stress is mental, not physical, we are, you know, anytime we worry about something, or, you know, whether it's in the past or in the future, the challenge with that is we're dropping that adrenaline, that cortisol, just dumping it into our bodies. And there's only so much that our bodies can take of that before, you know, the classic thing, whatever the weakest link in the chain is, that's going to break. And, you know, our bodies will give us warning signals. I know before I got my stress-induced diabetes, I had several warnings. And I, you know, before I ended up in the hospital with the diabetic ketoacidosis, I had several warnings. But did I listen? No. I just kept on doing it because, you know, when especially entrepreneurs who, you know, the business is their number one thing, you don't have time to take care of your health. And the problem is when you don't have your health, nothing else matters. And, you know, I'd mentioned to people, if you don't believe me, think about the last time you were really sick. Did you feel like doing anything other than lying in bed? Chances are that that's how you were. And when you don't have any energy to do anything but lie in bed, you're no good to your business. You're no good to your family. You're no good to anything because you just don't have your health. And so don't take it for granted.
Right. And so many high achievers think that the way through is to push through, but it's a constant attack on their nervous system.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the thing that's important too is we don't have to try and avoid all stress because, you know, there's good stress and there's bad stress. You know, if we are really happy at work, if we are just working on whatever we're passionate about, we do need stress to get things done. We need, you know, if there's a deadline to do something or, you know, we want to make sure we do a good job with it. Absolutely. That kind of stress typically is not going to be dumping the negative effects in your body. But when we start doing the negative stress, you know, the rumination about something that happened in the past, and we continue to have guilt or beat ourselves up about it, or we get anxious about something in the future and we're worried about it. And, you know, it may or may not happen, but we have all this fear about it and we just let that manifest inside of us. That's the kind of stress that does us no good at all.
Right. So let's go one step deeper because I've always been very fascinated, and it's what I do for a living, is look at, you know, the first 7 years of someone's life often is the clue as to why they go into these deep states of stress and stay there. Mm-hmm. And I know you have quite the story, and that's part of why you're so passionate about what you do.
Yeah, so for me, it's interesting. The first 7 years, when I was seven, my parents divorced. And the interesting thing about my parents is that when they basically had a very similar to Liz Taylor, Richard Burton kind of scenario. They were married and divorced twice to each other. And the interesting thing about that is that their first marriage, my sister was born. The second marriage, I was born. So we're two 100% siblings, but from two different marriages. I haven't found anybody else that can say that. But what was interesting was that my dad, he passed away in 2008. Combined, my mom and dad had 9 marriages, 7 divorces, and 1 widowing. And it just, you know, this constant revolving door of relationships that, you know, they would have for me, what it caused was this thought that I could only rely on myself. And unfortunately, there was a lot of alcoholism growing up. And so even as a 7-8-year-old, I would have to get myself ready for school, get out the door, you know, and the thing is that what I learned as I got older is I learned how to do a lot of tales of stretching the truth about what was going on, because I was embarrassed about that. And so things like we would always have trouble with money. And so things like the phone would get disconnected. And I would say, oh, you know, because I would have a friend who would try and call and they couldn't get through. And I'd say, oh, yeah, somebody tripped over the phone cord and pulled it, broke it out of the wall, which was totally a lie. But it was my way of coping to try and cover up for what was really going on. And you become a real good storyteller when you're trying to hide what's going on at home even for real.
Yeah, and stressful. And and then, you know, that thought form that I can only rely on myself. Mm-hmm. As a child, that's stressful, but take that into an adult executive role. And you're gonna be a perfectionist
you're not gonna delegate duty because you can't trust anybody. Yeah. Because nobody can do it as well as you. And you may not be arrogant about it. It just, you'll be taking on way too much. And the perfectionist role, what's so hard about that is if you're a perfectionist, the reality is you can't do everything well. We're not wired that way. We can't. And so if you can think about it and say, okay, what am I good at? And if there's things that I'm not good at, have the trust that you can have somebody else do those for you and let them do their job. Because, you know, you're just going to burn yourself out if you take all of that on yourself. And I can't tell you how many people I have worked with, either as peers or as clients, et cetera, who just are wired that way. And they say the classic thing, oh, it's easier for me to just do it myself than to delegate it. And yeah, that's probably short term. That's probably true. But if that is your normal mode of operation, you're going to set yourself up for not having any time to do what either you want to do or what you should be doing in terms of taking care of your health or doing something fun. And instead, you're just going to be buried in work.
Yeah, self-induced.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, people don't realize, you know, they might complain about, oh, you know, somebody else did this to me or something, you know, that classic victim mentality. The reality is most of our stress is self-induced, and that is nuts. We do it to ourselves. We start fabricating things in our mind about what possibly can happen and assume, you know, the worst in other people or something like that. And it just, you know, it manifests itself. It really does. I can't tell people enough about, I'm such a believer in the energy that you send out to the universe. If that energy is negative energy, you are going to attract back that negative energy. But if you send out the positive energy, you are going to attract back positive energy. And what would you rather have? it works.
Yeah. So just to become aware of the talk that goes on in our minds, mm-hmm. and then shift it. I think, is that what you teach a lot?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, when I wrote my book, I have this, it's called the Lighten Model. And that's an acronym that stands for the seven areas of your life that create the most stress, how we do it to ourselves. And the I call it the imagination. It's our conscious mind. And our conscious mind is only 5% of our brain, but it's where our inner critic is. And so it creates an absolute ton of stress. The interesting thing is that our unconscious, which I call our genius, the G enlightened, that is the other 95%. And that is where, you know, our memories are stored, our habits are formed, our perception of the world lies. So if you can make changes in your unconscious, that is where real change happens. And you can tap into it. You just got to get your conscious mind to step aside.
Yeah. Well, yes. And the unconscious is often where these programs are running. So you need to change those programs in order
to
act differently, right?
It's where those patterns are, the programs are. And in many cases, if there's emotional negative, especially a negative emotional baggage that's hiding in your unconscious, your unconscious wants to get rid of that. It knows that it's not helping. And so, you know, if you can tap into the opportunity to get rid of that and to change your patterns, wow, you can make some amazing, amazing growth steps. And, you know, it's not that our conscious mind is bad. Our conscious mind is designed to try and protect us. And so the inner critic is, you know, is not necessarily saying that you're not good enough. It's just trying to protect you from, oh, you don't want to fail, do you? You know, so it's trying its best. It's just that it's not healthy for us if that's all we listen to.
Yeah, exactly. So we stay in this state of the tiger, fight or flight.
Right.
So what are some of the things that you teach?
Well, it depends on each individual, because one of the things that I found in my experience was that each person, a particular technique will work well for one person, but may not work well for another person. And so it's a matter of finding something that works for you. One of my favorites, because I try and focus on ones that are very easy to implement, because, you know, we're all stressed for time. And if you can try something and if you can get a benefit from it right away, then you're more likely to use it regularly, either on a daily basis or anytime you need it when you feel you're starting to get stressed. And that is the critical area where it can make a huge difference for you, because even 1 minute a day, if you use it regularly, over the long term, that's going to be huge for your health benefit. You just got to use it regularly. And that's so often people go, oh, I'll get to it when I get to it. And that's not what you want to do. So things like visualization is a great one. It's one of the easiest ones that you can do. And what I like to do is you just, wherever you're sitting, whether it's, you know, if you're parked your car, you know, you're not going to do this when you're driving, but if you park your car or you're just sitting at your desk and you feel all of a sudden your stress starting to go up, what I talk the people through it is you close your eyes, you take a deep breath. And then you go to a place you like to relax. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe it's a park. Maybe it's a lake. Maybe it's your backyard. Maybe it's a spa. Wherever it is, go there now. And then you take all of your senses in. So what do you feel? Do you feel the sun on your face? Do you feel the sand or the grass under your feet? And what do you smell? Do you smell the fresh air? Maybe the lotion from the spa? What do you hear? Do you hear the wind blowing through the trees? Maybe the water splashing on shore? What do you see? Do you see the blue sky? Maybe the green of the trees or the grass? Whatever it is, take it all in And then take another deep breath. And open your eyes. 1 minute visualization with deep breathing. And the great thing about that is when you start doing your visualization, you will automatically start deep breathing because you're calming yourself. And that can be done anywhere.
Yeah, so it combines the two. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it's just, you know, I always tell people, you go to your happy place. That's the, you know, and so whatever that is. And then what is it, the senses, you take the senses in because that makes it real in your imagination. Which and that's what's so powerful.
Yeah, and it's part of the unconscious. Mm-hmm. Five senses records through the unconscious.
Absolutely.
And to remember it's only 1 minute in 24 hours. How many minutes is that?
Exactly. What is it? I think it's 4,000 minutes or something like that. Or I don't remember. I know there's a number with it or whatever it is. But it's just, and that's what I tell people. And then you do this once a day. What is it? 7 minutes a week? It's like everybody can find 7 minutes a week. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. You just have to find the time to do it. But it's not, you know, you don't have to sit there and do an hour long activity. If you have an hour, sure, do it, but you don't have to. It just, even a minute a day will make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And just realizing how important it is, right? Mm-hmm. Don't put it off. It should be the most important thing.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? What I always recommend is that once you have found an activity that really helps you, you put it into your calendar just like any other appointment. Mm. And what it does is you treat it like, okay, if you had a phone call or you had a meeting with somebody and you prioritize that, well, prioritize in your calendar. You put it in there, it's an appointment and you're not going to change that appointment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important enough that you keep it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Beautiful. I love when you talk about gratitude as well. Can you share that?
Sure. It's actually my all-time favorite stress relief tool. And going back to what we were talking about earlier about sending out positive energy, when we're grateful for even the little things, that, you know, we can say that, oh, I'm grateful for this big house, or I'm grateful for the expensive car, or something that, you know, we're working hard towards. But when you start looking at things and you're grateful for, hey, I woke up today and I've got another day to live. I mean, it was interesting that we take for granted the fact that we wake up every morning. And the reality is 14 out of 15 people who have ever lived on Earth are dead. The fact that we woke up this morning means, and that you and I are here together on this call, means that we've already won the lottery. And so have gratitude for even the little things. So I like to... like, let's say if you know, you have an appointment you got to get to and you're driving to it. Murphy's Law, if you're stressed and you're running late and you're worried about it, what's going to happen? You are going to hit every red light. You're going to be behind some slow driver, whatever it happens to be, that's going to happen. But what I do is when I'm driving and whether or not I'm going to an appointment or I'm just going somewhere, running errands or something like that, when I hit a green light, I say thank you. I say thank you three times. Anytime something positive happens, I say thank you three times to it. And what I'm doing is I'm sending out to the universe that I'm appreciating that. I'm grateful for that. And when you're grateful for positive things in your life, you attract back positive things in your life. And my wife and I have an activity that we do every night as well. We recap the day. I ask her, what are you grateful for? She asks me, what am I grateful for? And I always start off the very first thing, because of what happened to me, my very first thing is I'm grateful for my health, because all else is secondary. And then I think about what comes to mind that I really enjoyed about the day. And, you know, it's been snowing here where I live. And, you know, I thought about the fact that I'm grateful for the air conditioning in the house that keeps the house warm. You know, we take that for granted. But, you know, when it broke down last week, and we couldn't have a repair person come out until the next day. Well, I could tell you that house, our house, was very, very cold, and that was not a comfortable night's sleep. So you take that for granted. And, you know, the fact is that I'm very grateful that the house is warm. You know, I'm very grateful that I get to take a walk out in the neighborhood or something like that. It's those kind of things that if you continue to share and be grateful for those around you and be grateful for even, you know, if your job, I've worked with a lot of people who they don't like their job. And I say, okay, that's fine. Here's an activity for you. Write 5 things a day that you're grateful for your job about, even if you don't like your job. And that can be things like, well, I'm grateful for the paycheck that allows me to pay for things. I'm grateful maybe for the health benefits that it provides me. I'm grateful for, you know, whatever it happens to be. Maybe you have you may not like the job, but maybe you have some friends at work, whatever it happens to be. It's all about trying to change your mindset, because if you continue to have that negative glass half empty attitude towards it and other things in your life, you are going to attract back negative things. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And you stay wired for stress. Like when you're ruminating and it isn't good enough and I'm upset about it.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
And then if you just, I find I'll just say stop and then get myself to look at it differently, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing that's stressing you the most, what can you find good in it? And you can feel your shoulders come down immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the perfect indicators from your body that you're stressed, because your shoulders, your neck, your back, especially when we're stressed and we're sitting at a desk, we tense up and we tend to kind of hunch over at our desks when we're stressed. And our bodies are going to tell us, hey, that's not good. That's one of the early indicators. And if you continue to do that, everybody that has continued to do that and wakes up, you know, gets up every time, goes, oh, my back is hurt. Well, guess what? Over time, your back's going to really, really hurt. Yeah. You know, it's not going to go away after you stand up and walk around. So it's, you know, our body's going to tell us, you know, and our minds, you know, when we're mentally stressed, you know, it's probably the easiest way that you can see that you're mentally stressed is if you are having trouble focusing. You know, this lack of concentration is something that where you used to be able to be laser focused and you can't concentrate, guess what? Something's going on that you need to take care of.
Yes, because the frontal cortex can't even receive the information or the blood. Just so, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's things like being aware. So let's say you're waking up with headaches daily and you're reaching for, you know, Excedrin or Tylenol every day or every other day instead of occasionally. Guess what? There's something else going on there. And so, you know, I've seen people who started thinking that having diarrhea regularly was okay. And it's like, no, there's probably something else going on. And so you really have to just be mindful of it. And your body is going to respond to whatever your mind is dumping to. It just, You know, our mind has so much power over our body, but our body will put the red flags up if we pay attention to it.
Yeah. So just pay attention. Mm-hmm. And then figure it out. Don't be stressed about it.
Don't stress about it. Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because right before I got my diagnosis with stress-induced diabetes, my body, basically, I lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And I was in my mid-40s at that time. And I thought, at first, I thought, this is fantastic. I haven't lost weight in so many years. And I, you know, I wasn't doing it. I was still exercising, but I wasn't doing anything special. I was eating crap like I normally did because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we tend to go to the fast, junky kind of food because it's comfort food for us. And so I was eating that and I was still losing the weight. And after the 30th pound came off, I thought, I better get some blood work done and just see. And then, wow, what a surprise, stress-induced diabetes. You know, and it just, it our bodies will tell us. We just have to be mindful of it and not disregard it until we can, it's a better time. Well, once you lose your health, then try and figure out when is a better time.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So just look after yourself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can't stress how important it is for listeners to get how connected the mind is to the physical symptoms that are presenting themselves. So just be an investigator and find it, right? Change little things. Yeah.
It's just, it's a matter, it doesn't take a huge amount of effort. It really doesn't. It's being mindful of it and then taking a little bit of action. You know, if 1 minute a day works for you and then you start finding, oh, you know what, I can do 5 minutes a day. That's fine. But even that 1 minute, just find that 1 minute. It will be a game changer if you use it every day.
Yeah. And I love your blog as well, because they each only take 1 to 3 minutes to read, but they're all game changers.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there's several. I just want to tell people so they go there. But the 1 minute rule, I love that. Your bucket list.
Yes.
CBD for stress relief.
Yep.
Focus on good stress. Mm-hmm. Walking meditation. Mm-hmm. And adopt a pet.
Yep. All those are, you know, and they're just, you know, they're easy to implement. They're easy to implement. And, you know, and the thing that I mentioned to people too is because it only takes most of those techniques, and the people will find well over, there's 120, 130, I think there now.
Yeah.
The most of them, vast majority of them, well over 90%, take 1 to 5 minutes to try. And if it doesn't work for you, no big deal. Try something else, because you only invested 1 to 5 minutes. That's it. And once you find what works for you, you run with that. And that it's amazing how easy it can be.
Yeah, because we're all unique and find different things work for different reasons. And exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the funny thing when I published the walking meditation, for example, you know, I thought about it and I had to make sure, well, okay, you're going to walk, but you're going to be walking with your eyes open. Because, you know, we think about meditation as, you know, our eyes are closed and we're sitting in a, you know, with our legs crossed, et cetera, and stuff. No, you're not going to be walking with your eyes closed, because that's not going to do what it's supposed to do.
I have the funniest story. Can I share it quick?
Sure, absolutely. So
I was at a hotel and Mark and my children were very young at the time, and we got away for a weekend, and I didn't have time to meditate and work out on the treadmill. So I decided I would do both.
At
the same time. And I got into my meditative state, closed my eyes, and I spun off the treadmill, scraped all the skin off my face. Anyway, it's just one of my best stories. It's so you, at a party.
And I love to hear that because I could totally see myself trying to do that. And for the listeners, that is another lesson of one of the other techniques that I've posted is don't multitask. Because, you know, the thing is, there and in the article, it talks about this, but research shows that when we multitask, we are not being more effective because we are not giving the focus to each thing that we should be. So it literally takes us longer because we're more likely to make mistakes and stuff. So, you know, and your perfect example of that falling right off the treadmill and, you know, and the embarrassment and everything along with it.
All these buff guys standing around. Skin off my nose.
Yeah, well, I used to read my phone, go through my email while I was on the treadmill. I remember that. And it happened to me where I stepped on the side of the treadmill, not the belt. And my other foot was still stepping on the belt. And so I ended up doing this splits and flying off of it. And so not only did I bang myself up, I cracked the screen on my phone, and I had the worst groin strain that I can imagine.
Not worth it.
No.
So if you're going to exercise or meditate, do it. And just do that, right?
Do a walking meditation with your eyes open. There you go, because then you're going to be meditating and you're going to get a little bit of exercise as you're walking.
So Professor Pete, how do people find you?
Sure, they can go to, the blog is a great place to go, which is petealexander.com/blog. And if they want to get in contact with me, if they have any questions about any of the techniques that I suggest, there's a contact form right there.
Perfect. And there's lots of information there.
Yeah.
So I would encourage everyone to go find it. And thank you so much for coming today and sharing these brilliant things that come from experience, don't they? But they make you, it comes from your heart and from a place of true knowing. So it's really valuable.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Jane. Yeah, I mean, I've tried every one of them. And, it was interesting that you say that because, there's certain ones that I like best that work best for me. But every one of those is worth trying if you're looking for the one that you're going to like best, because it's a menu. Basically, it's a menu. Try this one, try that one. But the thing that I want to leave listeners with is don't trade your health for your career or other responsibilities. That is a really bad trade.
Yeah, because then you can't have what you're searching for or going for.
Exactly.
Beautiful, and such an important message to leave everyone with. Thank you so much. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Just be the creator of your own life. And spiral up, spiral out.